of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, through the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sin. As a called, ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We chant the introit on the insert.
Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away.
Slave.
exceedingly great and precious promises to those who trust in you. Rule and govern our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may live and abide forever in your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. Testament reading for the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost is from Malachi chapter 4. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Outward salvation for
brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness, and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we may not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busybodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the Alleluia and verse.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
While some were speaking of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And they asked him, "Teacher, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when these things are about to take place?" And he said, "See that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'the time is at hand.' Do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified, for these things must first take place, but the end will not be at once." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes in various places, famines and pestilences, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it therefore in your minds not to meditate beforehand how to answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance you will gain your lives. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are inside the city depart, and let not those who are out in the country enter it. For these are days of vengeance to fulfill all that is written. Alas, for women who are pregnant, and for those who are nursing infants in those days. For there will be great distress upon the earth and wrath against this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive among all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity, because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear, with foreboding of what is coming on the world. The powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." This is the Gospel of the Lord. We gather your pledges, present at the altar as we sing the hymn. You may be seated. Spirit in this coming year. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, as we dedicate our time, talent, and treasures to the work of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear saints in Christ, this Sunday and next Sunday are the last two Sundays of the church year before Advent and preparation for Christmas. These texts tell us what is going on in the world, why the world is in such a mess, what are the signs of the end times, and how to raise our heads to look forward to the coming of Jesus in glory on the last day. Thus our focus today and next Sunday, the last Sunday in the church year. Jesus says, straighten up, raise your heads. The soldier stands at attention and salutes his officer. When the judge enters the courtroom, everyone stands. When we say the Pledge of Allegiance or sing the national anthem, we stand, we face the flag, we stand up, we raise our heads in respect. A child who comes in the room, if you're tall like I was, who's in the room, and when a parent walks in, you stand up, and you say, how are you, sir? Shake their hand. You stand up, you raise your head, you show respect. Jesus is talking, however, about spiritually raising your head and straightening up before God. And that is exactly what we do in the divine service, don't we? We stand when we're singing a hymn or a psalm. At the beginning of the service, you're standing and looking forward in the invocation at the end with the benediction. We stand up to hear the gospel lesson, and we stand and face the altar as we speak the creed after the sermon. We're giving God our undivided attention, and not only that, Jesus is saying, spiritually raise your heads and be ready for the coming of the Son of Man in glory. So, we are living our lives in expectation either of our own deaths and entrance into heaven, or the return of Christ. Either way, we have the victory. Every single day we are ready to die or for Jesus to return. And that is why at this time in the church here, we draw attention to the signs of the coming of the Son of Man. So let us briefly look at this text, three different aspects of what Jesus says. First, what are the signs of the last days Jesus gives in history? Secondly, what is the sign of the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem? And third, what are the signs of the imminent return of the Son of Man? Raise up your head, straighten up, and this is what Jesus says. Beware of the signs of the last days in history. So Jesus begins. Many will come in my name, saying, I am he. Do not go after them. There are so many false prophets, so many false Christs, so many people who tell you to follow after them. They start their own religions and lead us away from Christ. Do not listen to any of them. You have the apostolic word of the scripture. This is all you need. No cults, no self-appointed messiahs. Jesus is the only Messiah and the only Lord. He says there will be wars and tumults, but don't be terrified because nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. We see this. As soon as one war stops, another one begins. And when that one ends, another one begins. And on it goes. He says, don't be terrified. This is the violence of a world in rebellion against God, the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh. This has gone on throughout history. Then he says there will be great earthquakes and famines and pestilence. meaning that even in the inanimate and animate world, things are in uproar. Tears and great signs from heaven. All of creation is groaning, awaiting the return of Christ. And then he continues, they will even seize you as a Christian, deliver you to persecution, and you will speak before kings. This is an opportunity to bear witness. You notice Jesus says, don't be terrified of these days. Every single one of these experiences will enable you to bear witness to who Christ is. And he says, when that moment comes, I will give you the words in your mouth to speak. Even when you're betrayed by parents and brothers and relatives, and some of you are put to death, he says, endure and you will gain your lives. Endure in the word of Christ. Don't be afraid. Don't be terrified. We speak the truth to all. And the signs of the last days in history have all been here since the day of Pentecost. Don't let people delude you into thinking they have some special knowledge about some event last year or coming that this shows you we're closer and closer to Christ's return. We've been in the last days ever since the day of Pentecost. All these signs are here. Endure. Raise up your head. Endure in the Word of God. Confess your sin. Receive forgiveness. And live your daily vocation, whatever it is, in Him. Despite the signs of these last days in history, we are called to endure and by faith gain our lives. Secondly, Jesus gives the sign of the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. The apostles say, oh Lord, look at this temple, look at its noble stones and offerings, admired by all. The temple in Jerusalem was beautiful. Herod the Great had been beautifying it. It was a magnificent, one of the wonders of the world. And they're thinking this is going to abide forever. It was the place where sacrifices were given. The priests came at the Day of Atonement, sacrificing of the Passover lamb in the altar before, entering into the Holy of Holies with the blood of the lamb. This is the purpose of the temple. But Jesus predicts something that they're shocked by. He says, you see these stones? Not one stone will be left upon another. They will all be thrown down. And they are astounded. How can this be? Our temple thrown down? Jesus is predicting the actual historical event that happened in 70 AD. The Romans forced their way into Jerusalem. They, led by the general Titus, for 5 months, from April to September in 70 AD, they attacked Jerusalem, killed thousands of people under the Emperor Vespasian. They ran people off. They tore the temple down stone by stone, brick by brick. They had a parade in Rome and brought all the spoils through. And if you go to Rome and see the Arch of Titus down by the central part of ancient Rome, carved into the rock is the picture of them hauling the Jewish menorah away and all the beauties of the temple. It actually happened exactly like Jesus said. It was all torn down. And when you go there today, the only thing that's left is the Wailing Wall, which is a retaining wall on the side of the hill. The temple is gone. There's even a mosque there now. What Jesus said, it will all be torn down. Why? Jesus is wanting them to focus now on Him. The Christians remembered this. Jesus said, when you're surrounded by armies, flee, get out of the city. If you're out in the country, don't come in. And when this happened, the Christians did flee. They left. They remembered these words. But the swords of the Romans came and killed thousands of the Jews and hauled them away. Jesus says the time of the Gentiles has come. But the Lord uses this also for the furtherance of the gospel. You see, the reason why the temple is torn down, we don't need that temple anymore. It's a false hope to think you're going to rebuild the temple. Jesus' body is the temple of the church. Jesus said, tear this temple down and in 3 days I will raise it up. God wanted the temple to be gone so people would focus on Christ. The body of Christ crucified, risen, and returning is our new temple. And whether we are Jew or Gentile, as baptized Christians, we are built into that holy temple, the holy Christian church. The final sacrifice was in Christ. He was the high priest. He was the Passover lamb. He is the anointed one upon which our sin was placed, and now his holiness is placed upon us. He is the sacrifice. He is the temple. And in him, all the nations can come to the light, like us Gentiles. So, yes, the signs of the end are here, but we are to endure. Yes, the temple is gone, but Jesus is our temple. And lastly, the imminent signs of the Son of Man is how Jesus closes. Knowing why this is going on in history, Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes, the universe will be burnt up and destroyed. The sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, the sea, people fainting with foreboding. The earth and the world, the powers of heaven will be shaken. And the Bible says, he will destroy it all and bring forth the new heavens and the new earth. This is what Jesus says is coming. The new heavens and the new earth, where we eat from the tree of life, drink from the river of life. No more mourning, no more sorrow, no more death. This is the new Jerusalem that is coming. The Son of Man will come suddenly in the last day, like lightning flashing across the sky, coming upon the clouds in power and great glory. Judgment Day, Resurrection Day, being brought into glory. All this will happen. And he says, your redemption then is drawing near. You see, when Christ appears, we will see with our own eyes the one who was crucified and is now glorified on our behalf. We will see with our own eyes, he was the redeeming sacrifice for my sin. And he is my temple and my priest and the sacrifice. Therefore, we use everything that we have, our time, talent, and treasures, with the means of grace, proclaiming the law and the gospel, contrition and faith, preach, teach, baptize, absolve, receive Holy Communion, and live out your daily vocation as man, woman, child, parent, worker, employer, employee, wherever you are. Use that daily vocation to bear witness to Christ, that we can raise our heads and be straightened up for that day. So, my friends, we can endure. The reason why no hair of our head will perish is because we will be renewed in heaven perfectly. Our redemption is drawing nigh. The signs are all there. When I was a child in Ohio in the wintertime, we'd start with a small snowball at the top of the hill. And as we rolled it down the hill, it got bigger and bigger and bigger, so it was a huge snowball by the time it got to the bottom of the hill. This is the signs of the end times. As history rolls on, it gets bigger and bigger and more false prophets and more earthquakes and famines, but redemption is drawing nigh. And suddenly, Christ will appear while we're living out our daily vocations, as we are awaiting the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. He calls us in view of the signs of the last days. Yes, the temple of Jerusalem is torn down, as we are awaiting his glorious return and coming to his table, a foretaste of the feast to come. Let us heed the words of Jesus, spiritually straighten up, raise our heads, and look forward to the glorious return of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory forever. Amen. And the peace that surpasses our human understanding, guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. We continue page 158. We stand to confess the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men
God, hear your people as we pray. Grant us all things needful and beneficial according to your gracious promises in Christ our Lord. Awaken us with ears to hear your word and hearts to believe, despite trial and tribulation, to be found faithful when our Lord comes in his glory to finish his new creation. Lord, in your mercy, uphold all ministers of your gospel, all missionaries, teachers, and pastors, to gladly proclaim your word. Despite wicked and evil men, give us a mouth and wisdom in all adversity to boldly profess the gospel of Christ and endure faithfully to the end. In 2026, going forward, bless the work of Trinity Lutheran Church and all the ministries in our congregation. Bless Benjamin Ella Gori as they serve you in Romania. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We give thanks to the Lord for the gift of our families. Bless our homes, our parishes, our communities in which your people dwell. Make them places of blessings and peace by your word, passing the faith on to our children and grandchildren. This week, bless Elijah Dykus, Tammy Lemke, Stephen Lukey, and Pastor Jordan Heiser, Ann Schuster, John Ajoup, Pastor Jonathan Anderson, and Veronica Richards, Darren Davis, Pastor Tim Gertis, Pastor Keith Kettner, and Selena Hernandez, Sue Eby, Nathan Hasbrook, and Scott Hasbrook as they celebrate their baptism and birthday, plus Calvin and Rowan Ullman, Matt and Katie Brinketter as they celebrate their anniversaries. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, you judge the world with righteousness and your people with equity. Bless us with good and faithful leaders in government to defend our people. Punish the evildoer and encourage virtue. Raise up those who will serve the cause of peace among the nations. As we continue to pray for the Ukraine, Palestine, and Israel and Syria, and thank you for those who serve, Daniel, Gabe, Mike, Alex, Calvin, and Eli in the military. Lord, in your mercy, shine your light upon the sick, those who suffer loss and persecution for the sake of your name, those whose hearts are heavy with grief, and those for whom our prayers are requested. Bless Andrew Ward, Betty Tinney, Mike Knox, and Lee Hagan, Johnny Eisenbrown, Brian Maluski, Travis Faulkner, Larry Miller, and Olga Ansley, Cheryl Wade, Sally McNeil, Diane Ritter, Jane McConnell with healing and strength, and be with the family of Jim Randall, comfort them who passed away, with the sure hope of a reunion in heaven. Lord, in your mercy, blessed Lord, you promised never to abandon us, to provide all that we need for this day and eternal life. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, hear the prayers of your people. Grant them all good things for your mercy's sake. To you, eternal God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be glory now and forever. Amen.
At this time, we will now gather the offerings, and as we do, please take the attendance pad at the end of the pew, fill it out, tear the sheet out, and please put it in the basket in the narthex as you leave. You may be seated for the offerings.
Offertory, page 159. We stand to sing.
Amen.
insult to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Thank you.
body of Christ. Take and eat the body of Christ. Canticle, page 164, we stand to sing. Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.